Mark 13, starting at verse 24. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on your guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the cock crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let me ask you, how prepared are you for Christmas? So let's maybe have, anyone still hasn't put up their Christmas tree? Okay, there's a hand. Is anyone still that hasn't wrapped any presents? I've still got that. That's normally late Christmas Eve. Has anyone have their Christmas tree up before December? The 1st of December. Okay, there we go. Anyone buy any Christmas presents before November? Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I saw something, I think in the summer, and it was on sale, so I bought it. That's for my son. Anyone did anything for Christmas prepared, let's say, before July? I can see a hand over there. Is that Christmas pudding? No, okay. Before March? Is anyone here one of these people that prepares the Christmas pudding a year beforehand? No, okay. Well, I've heard of people that take that out and they prepare when they, a bit of the, as they're making Christmas pudding, they do something else and they prepare it a year beforehand. Well, today we're looking at to being prepared, and I want to ask you, how prepared are you for Christmas, the sequel, or Christmas part two? You see, what we're looking at is Christ's return. He said, I'll be back. And his return is really the sequel to Christmas. Now, normally sequels have a bad name. I mean, think of a film you like, and then there was a sequel to it, and it sometimes disappoints. Look, most Star Wars fans will agree that the original Star Wars film, The Empire Strikes Back, is the best film, and that's the sequel. I see one or two heads nodding. Okay, so there are other Star Wars geeks out there like myself. But what we're looking at today is, how prepared are you for the sequel to Christmas, Christ's return? And you might be going, well, Scott, this passage has got nothing to do with Christmas. And I wanted some joy and some good Christmas feels, and you're talking about the apocalypse. What a downer. Well, you're talking about judgment, and we're talking about darkening skies. This does not sound good. But bear with me, and we'll see that this is a message of joy and of fulfillment, and of encouragement. You see, Jesus wants us to be prepared, as he wanted his disciples to be prepared for what was going to happen after his ascension into heaven. And we've covered it the last few weeks. There is this terrible event that's going to happen to the Jewish people about the temple as it's going to be destroyed. And you can imagine, if you're a Jewish person, and there's the temple, which is your connection to God. And as the disciples are walking down, marveling at this massive temple, which I'm told one of the stones could, maybe we could squeeze two of the bricks into this room. That's how massive these stones were. And Jesus says, not one of them will be left on top of another. They're all going to be flattened. And the disciples are reeling, and he's saying, but that's not the end. As terrible as that is, that's not the end. It's the sign that the end is to come. And so we'll see that he does refer to this event to the disciples, pointing and saying that's not the end, it is to come. But it's also a message for us. And the first thing he wants us to be aware of is that Christ's return will not be missed. So if you can glance down to verses 24 and 27. Christ's return will not be missed. So, the sequel to Christmas will be quite different from Christ's first coming. You see how there's going to be, it's a cosmic event. The sun will be, 24, following the days of this distress. So following that terrible day in Jerusalem, there's going to be the day. The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. So it's fair to say that that hasn't happened yet. And it's fair to say that when that happens, everyone will know about it. It's not going to be like his first coming, which is in relative obscurity. There were angels, but he was born in a manger, in a stable. I read a comic book once that made this claim that Jesus returned as a baby again. And there's no way that's going to happen. And it's going to be quite visible. Have a look at verse 26. At that time, men will see the Son of Man, that's Jesus, coming in the clouds with great power and glory. So you cannot miss his return. There's no way you're going to miss out and say, oh, well, maybe he came and we just missed it. There's no one left behind. This is a cosmic event. And we see no one's left behind because he says about Christians, 27, and he will send his angels to gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth, and from the ends of the heaven. So his elect, his Christians, will not miss out. If you're a Christian and you happen to go down south to London and Jesus returns, you won't be left behind. Even if you had to go to an obscure place like South Africa, he would get you. Or even if you had to go to the sort of the end of the map, New Zealand, he would find you. If you're an astronaut on the International Space Station and you're a Christian and he returns, you will be gathered to him. If you were an astronaut was on the Mars mission going towards Mars as they hope to do, or even settled on Mars, when Christ returns, he will gather you. There's no way on earth and heaven you'll miss out. So Christ's return will not be missed, and for Christians, they will not miss out. So the question is, when's this going to happen? How's this going to happen? And Jesus wants us to be aware that not only will Christ's return not be missed, but Christ's return is near. It's going to happen soon. And so have a look at verse 28 and 29. Jesus talks to the disciples about a plant they all know, a fig tree. Does anyone have a fig tree in their garden? Okay, there's a few hands. We're not as familiar with the fig tree. In South Africa, there's something called a strangler fig, which is quite different. It bears fruit, but it kills another plant. It's a pretty impressive tree. But I think probably our equivalent would be, he's saying, as you see the fig tree, its twigs are tender and you know that summer is near. I remember when we moved into Hampshire, seeing for the first time what a real winter was. And, South Africa, basically you get very hot and wet and dry and a little bit less hot. And those are the two seasons. But in Hampshire, the snow, the darkness, and then what's the first flower that comes up? Does anyone know? There's a clue, it's on the screen. Sorry? Snowdrops. So I remember snowdrops, and then the village that we lived in, daffodils was a little bit after that. I was told there's another one, but I just remember all the daffodils came up, and how do I put this delicately? The village was very posh. We stayed on the housing estate just on the outside, and all these daffodils would come up, but there was this warning that was given to the children through whoever runs the village. Children are not allowed to pick up daffodils on the way they walk to school, when they walk to school, which is pretty sad. But all these daffodils came up, and then you can sort of track, and other flowers start coming up, and then it's the bluebells, and it goes on. Jesus is saying, when there's a disaster, it's like a snowdrop pushing its way through the snow. I'm coming back. When you hear about turmoil and trouble, know that I'm coming back. And you might be, this Christmas, going through immense darkness and pain, And Jesus is saying to you, I'm coming back. It's near. It will soon be over. And then a really incredible verse, which is sort of like a bolt out of the blue. Have a look at 31. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. 30, he's talking to the disciples. It gets a bit confusing for us. He's talking about that event that's going to be the big one for them. I'll tell you the truth, this generation will not pass away until all these things happen. So he's saying that temple, when it's destroyed, don't think it's the end. It's only a sign that the end is coming. And then he says that it was encouraging words in verse 31 that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Let me say again that it might feel like at stages in your life that things are passing away, that everything comes crumbling around you, that it might be your health, it might be family, it might be the death of a loved one, it might be some struggle and pain, and it might feel like it's the end. But Jesus says, my words will never. So words like Hebrews 13, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I'll not be afraid. That's forever. That's uncorrodible. That's solid. Or Romans 8, a particular passage that helped me through when I thought everything was gone. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither present, nor future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's forever. The world might be crumbling around you. The sun might be darkened, but that will last forever. Or Psalm 7:23, you might face some terrible news about a terrific illness. Or you might go through incredible heartache. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is my strength and my heart and my portion forever. So Jesus is saying, my words, my promise to you will never disappear. So keep going. You can hold on to those promises even when the earth collapses, even when your body fails, even when friends turn on you or a loved one dies. You can hold on to those promises forever. And so the question is, well, when will this return be? And our third point is, Christ says, the time of Christ's return is unknown. So the Watchtower Society have predicted the end of the world 8 times, first in 1877, then 1916, and last 1984. And since then, they haven't made any predictions because 8 times, you know, they've got it wrong. But Christians aren't exempt. In 2011, there's a man called Harold Camping, a leader of a prominent Christian family radio station in the U.S. He predicted that the end of the world was coming in 2011 on a particular month. And when that didn't happen, he said, no, that's just the spiritual end. The physical one is 4 months to come. And then that didn't happen. And it plunged the business lost money. Apparently, before his death, he said, I've come to realize that no one can predict when Christ returns, and to do so is wrong. You can go into Wikipedia and search a list of apocalypse of the world ending, and it's got a list that's almost, since Christ's ascension, almost every 2 or 3 years, there's been someone predicting the end. If you're interested, 2020, Gene Dixon, an astrologer, has predicted that the world will end. So my question is to those that have tried beforehand and those that are predicting the end to come, do they think they know more than Jesus? Have a look at verse 32. Jesus says, no one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Now let me say, this is a head-scratcher question. When I'm teaching the teenagers, we come across something difficult in the Bible. This is a real head-scratcher. What does this mean? Jesus is God. How can he not know the end? How can this be possible? Does he know the end now? Or what's the case? Whatever the case might be, Jesus in his human form, God the Son, chose certain knowledge not to be open to him. And it's very helpful. I probably did this. This is the reason he did it. That there's no manuscript that suddenly appeared that one of the disciples wrote this down. Because though he didn't tell anyone else, he told this disciple, and he knows when the end is. It's probably why they did this. He's saying, no one knows. You see, The reason is he wants us to be expectant about the end, not complacent, not going, oh, well, it's going to come in 20 years' time so I can relax now, but to expect that it's any day, not complacent. Not to think that it's going to never happen. And while we might mock these people, like, oh, the end's coming, they're selling all their possession, at least they're expectant about the end. Our danger would be complacent to think it's not going to happen, or not going to happen in our lifetime. But Jesus wants us to be, as Christians, expectant about the end, not complacent. Really, if we don't get it, he really wants us to be ready for his return. He calls us to be ready for his return. So have a look at verse 33, 34, 35, and see what keeps coming up in those verses. So if we didn't get it, verse 33, be on your guard, be alert. Verse 34, he tells a story. But he has in the words, at the end of verse 34, keep watch. 35, therefore, keep watch. And if we don't get it, 36, what I say, 37, if what I say to you, what I say to everyone, watch. In fact, in verse 5, Jesus has been saying, watch out, no one deceives you. Verse 9, be on your guard. Verse 23, so be on your guard. You might be able to find more. Jesus is saying this, get all your ducks in a row. Cross the T's, dot the I's. Batten down the hatches. Those are ways of saying it. Or gearing yourself up. Or as the Americans say, don't be caught with your pants down. It's colorful saying that. It's saying, be ready. Christ is coming back. And he tells us a story about, in 34 to 36, about a man that goes away and he keeps his servants around, and they lock the door and they need to watch and to be ready to let him in and not to start sleeping. And so have a look at verse 34 to 36. He tells a story, and he wants them to be ready. So 33, be on your guard, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going away. He leaves the house and puts his servants in charge. And he talks about one being at the door. And then end of 35, just let me read 35. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether it be in the evening or at midnight, or when the cock crows or at dawn. So a little bit strange, because as some commentators said, there's the four watches of the night covered. Evening, midnight, cock crows at dawn. Now, I used to always think that the cock crowed at dawn. And maybe that's the case here, but I know in South Africa, we went, when I was at theological college, what we would, at the end of the term, mid-year, we would go on what they call mission week. Was more than a mission, it was probably 12 days. And we went to the foothills of the Drakensberg Mountains, so the base of the Drakensberg Mountains, which the Drakensberg Mountains in South Africa, the highest point is 3 kilometers high. It's almost always got snow on. And this was a really rural village, and there was no running water. Thankfully, we stayed, the part of the team, we stayed with the vicar of the village. The friends that I was with, they went to stay with the local farmer. And what I found out was that every morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, the cock would crow right outside their window, because that's where he slept. And so here we have... in the middle of the night, this cock crowing, and it would startle him the whole time. This is saying you need to be ready for that, so it doesn't startle you. No matter what time, your attitude should be one of expectancy. Maybe a modern equivalent was, if you can remember, probably doesn't happen anymore, when Windows computer had solitaire on. And so you'd walk, maybe the boss would walk into the room and someone would close the window because they've been playing solitaire when they should be working. I can see some people smiling. That's happened to them. And now it's probably the internet. You're doing some Amazon Christmas shopping and the boss walks in. Oh, I've been caught. And that's what he's saying here. Don't do that. Be ready. At any moment, the boss, Jesus, will return. And so to live in that era, to watch, to be expectant. And so what does that mean to us this Christmas? Well, it means if you don't know if you are a Christian... If you haven't made the commitment yet, or if you're unsure, or if you know that you're not a Christian, you need to be ready because he is coming back. And the best way to be ready is to get a right relationship with him. And you could speak to someone, you could speak to God, or another great way is Simply Christianity course, which is coming up on the 14th of January. And it's starting with a speaker called Dr. David Bell. I'm the one I've heard him before, and some of the teenagers heard him when we went away on the Truth Conference. He's a real scientist. In fact, if you ever, maybe I'm stealing his thunder, but if you ever gotten safely on a train journey, I won't explain why, but it's largely due to this man. You can be grateful to him. And he's a man that believes in God and his relationship with God, and he's a scientist. So I'd encourage you to come to that, and then there's a way you can ask questions, and it's a really, really brilliant course. So do think about that. That's a comfortable space for you to explore those questions. You need to be ready for his return. You don't want to come back him to face him as judge and not savior. And for Christians, we face that day when he returns with our sin being paid for and nothing to fear. But if you're not yet a Christian, you face that day with your sin not being faithful, and you stand before God accountable to every single thing that you've done. And so you want to be ready for his return. You don't want to be caught out. For those of you who are Christians, it's a reminder for us that are Christians to be expectant, to live as if he's coming back, not to be complacent. I'm going to just show you something. I haven't had one of these in a while, but anyone got Advent calendars at home? Okay, I've heard there's some interesting ones. I heard there's one called the 12 Curries of Christmas. So you can presume they repeat themselves. You can get a pork scratching Advent calendar. Anyone got that? You can get anyone. So my wife bought my daughter and I a Lego Advent calendar, which we've been working our way through, and we built part of a scene, got to do with Christmas. Let me say that God has been working through an Advent calendar. The first one he opened up with creation. And then he knew it was going to happen. He opened up with the fall. They probably didn't have a chocolate in. And then Abraham. And you can see this if you look at the beginning of Matthew's gospel or the first few verses of Luke's gospel, as it lists all the names. And God's been patient. He hasn't turned ahead. And the prophets pointing towards Jesus. And then the birth of Jesus, which is not the final one. Jesus on the cross, Jesus' resurrection, and then his ascension. Let me say there's nothing more to open. It's the last one. We are on Christmas Eve, spiritually speaking. We're in the last days. The last window to be opened will be Jesus coming back. And for Christians, that's a tremendous encouragement. For those of us that, those that might not be Christians yet, can be quite terrifying. We're on Christmas Eve, and we're to live as Christians, as if it's Christmas Eve, expectant as children on Christmas Eve, waiting for the day to come. That means that will shape how we use our money, how we spend our time, when we face problems, how we try to build our kingdom here. We know that the end is soon, and it's going to be glorious. These are the birth pains. These are the struggles that we're going through. It's the snowdrop pushing through the snow. And this Christmas, let me say, I know to some of you, it's going to be a very dark time. There's those I know that it's a very painful time. And it might not be Christmas, it might be other times where there's pain and hurt. On Friday night, my son was watching a Shaun the Sheep movie. Does anyone know Shaun the Sheep? Shaun the Sheep? Now, let me say, this little boy has been invested because he's been watching the Shaun the Sheep TV series. I think he's on season 5. He loves Shaun the Sheep, and he was watching the Shaun the Sheep movie, and I walked past, and I noticed that tears were just pouring down his face. So I sort of gave my wife the signal, and she went and sat with him, because he doesn't want to cry in front of daddy. He wants mommy. And they're watching this, and you're familiar with this, when they call it the Rocky moment in films, where it looks like everything is lost. It's right near the end, just before everything comes right again. And in Shaun the Sheep, there's a horrible part, and he was just distraught. And my wife was saying to him, Gabriel, it's got a happy ending. And you'll wait a few minutes, and I just heard from the kitchen. It's not a happy ending. He said, no, it's going to be a happy ending. Just trust me. A few minutes later, it's not a happy ending. It's not a happy ending. And then my wife said, it is a happy ending. It's just not finished yet. Let me say that to you. There is a happy ending. It's just not finished yet. It might be painful. It might be terrible as a Christian. There might be death or hurt. It's just not finished yet. There is a happy ending for those that trust in Christ. And that's why we can celebrate Christmas. It's not finished yet. So keep going. Amen.